Blog Talk Radio.
Mouthpiece, his prophet, and he was to be to Aaron as
as Elohim. And so we will pick this up in chapter 5 on this morning. With that being said, we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let us go ahead and do our statement of faith on this morning. I want to remind everybody that the Feast of Trumpets is quickly approaching, and that is will be on the 16th of September. It's actually the 17th, but the 17th starts in the evening, and so we will do it on the evening of the 16th, be in observance of that, of September. And then after that, the Day of Atonement is on the 25th or the 26th of September, but we will celebrate it starting the evening of the 25th. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles starting on the 1st of October through the 8th of October. And I actually need my glasses this morning. I didn't bring them down, so... While the so far is playing, I will have to go get them. Okay, with that being said, we pray that you are all mindful of these, the lessons leading up to these. Prayerfully, you know, the Most High will give us some insight into what's coming up in the future. That is my prayer. He is moving, and, you know, he said he would reveal it to us if we go before him. And so I am praying that he reveals, you know, what his moves are and which direction we should be going and what we should be doing. All right, that being said, we have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah. 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on this morning, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We magnify
Hallelujah.
You. We magnify you. For you are glorious and wonderful and kind and merciful, Father. And we just pay homage to you on this morning, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah to you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your, to observe your Shabbat. A day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. And we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. But if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are turning from our wicked ways and repenting of our sins. We won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you may awake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice, that they would come and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. No, let's go ahead and do the scriptures for this morning. Chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against me, to be personalized, if we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which thou hast built, which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, and verse 1. These are the standard judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Oh, I just say, my family, my relationship, whatever it is, my Facebook time, my Instagram time. What I lack, you are full of. And where I'm broken, you are whole. And what I'm doubting, you are sure of. For I'll trust the lover, lover of my soul.
Let me hear y'all sing that one time. What I lack, say.
What I lack, you are.
All right. Amen. 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 Let's go ahead and jump into this lesson on this morning. Once again, I want to remind everybody of Feast of Trumpets coming up on the 16th. It's the 17th, but we will celebrate it the night of the 16th, the beginning of the 17th. So be prepared for that. This lesson is leading up to this time period, and so we are studying the Exodus. So we will get into the second Exodus, which is what the Most High has promised, the gathering of Israel from all the other nations, that they would bring us back to Israel, the true people of the Most High. Okay, this will be probably, I'm going to say close to his return or after his return. I really believe it's going to be after. He's going to cause them to do that. But nevertheless, there is a second Exodus out of all the nations, not just America, but out of all the nations where he has scattered us to. But we are looking at the Feast looking at the Exodus from the standpoint that the Most High had to get Israel to a mindset where they would want to leave, where they would want to leave Egypt. Okay, and on last night I told you that it was an Assyrian pharaoh that caused the people of the Most High that in bondage and caused the people of Israel to serve with hard rigor. And so I want to take us this morning first to Isaiah chapter 52. The book of Isaiah chapter 52. And then we will come back and start in Exodus chapter 5. Chapter 52 and verse 4. Let's get verses 1 through 4. Isaiah chapter 52 verses 1 through 4. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee uncircumcised and the unclean. So there's going to come a time when the Most High, you know, even for the Gentiles, as I said, if you want to come close to the Most High and you want to live amongst, close to the Most High and go into his temple, do any of this stuff, then you have to be circumcised, both in heart and in mind. Circumcised in heart and in flesh, okay? And we can read those things in Ezekiel. Take thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith Yah, you have sold yourselves for naught, for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Yah, Elohim, my people went down aforetime or beforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. So the Pharaoh that we read about in Exodus chapter 1 that did not know Joseph was not an Egyptian Pharaoh. He was an Assyrian Pharaoh. And the Assyrians had invaded Israel Egypt and were occupying the land. And this is the people that the scriptures are talking about. Israel did not come to outnumber the Egyptian, but they did come to outnumber the Assyrians. And the Assyrians, as I said, Egypt was so famous and such a, this word is escaping me. But anyway, they were of such importance and such a trophy that they kept the name of Egypt. They left the people there, and they took on the Assyrian king, took on the title of Pharaoh. Okay, and so it, for all practical purposes, it appears that they are truly Egyptian when they are not. Okay, and so we got to understand that, and the Bible records them as being Egyptian because they left the name of Egypt, they left the title of Pharaoh. They kept those things. Now, we know this is not normally the way of the Assyrian. Typically, what the Assyrian will do, they will come in, they will transplant all the people that they have conquered out of the land and transplant them into other lands. And this is what they did to Israel. They transplanted the northern kingdom into the Medo-Persian kingdom. Then they transplanted other people into Israel. But there were some people that escaped that they didn't get the transplant. It was their way. And they renamed Israel, the northern kingdom from Israel, to Samaria after the capital city. They renamed it to Samaria. And so this is for them to leave Egypt with the name of Egypt, not transport the people out, not transport, you know, our Hebrew brothers and sisters out, our forefathers out, and leave them in the land. I know the world's in for is prestigious. To conquer Egypt was a prestigious thing to do, okay? And so because they kept the title, the name of Egypt, and they kept the title of Pharaoh for the king, then when you read it, you think that it's the Egyptians, but we have to come to Isaiah. And Isaiah tells us that, you know, it was the Assyrian that afflicted our people when they sojourned. Now, underline that word sojourn. Are consistent. Doesn't say that they were enslaved. Sojourn does not mean to be enslaved. For the vast majority of the time that they were in Egypt, they were not enslaved. It was the last probably 64 years, as far as I can, you know, figure, by the births and the deaths, and even unto the time that right before Moses was born, between Aaron being born and Moses being born, because Aaron did not fall up under this. So it never says that Aaron was, you know, threatened to be thrown in the river. He's 3 years older than Moses. But by the time Moses comes, this is in effect. This is in effect. These laws by this Assyrian Pharaoh are in effect, and Moses' life threatened. Okay, so in a matter of 3 years. And so you can actually really from that figure out just how long they were in slavery, because up until the time that Joseph died and the rest of the patriarchs or the rest of their families died out, as far as those original 70 that came into Egypt, they were not enslaved. But we know up until the time that Joseph died and the rest of the original died out, they were not enslaved. So you have to look and see how much time was in between that. That's when the Most High caused them to be enslaved so that they would call out to him to be delivered out of the land so that they would want to leave. Now, truth of the matter is, this has to happen again. Going to happen again, because in most of let's just take the United States. Most of us in the United States don't really have it that bad. We ain't got it the greatest, but when we compare ourselves to other places in the world, we are the ninth richest set of people in the United States in the world. The African American so-called Negro. Over $1 trillion economy, ourselves, that's more than about 100 and some odd nations, 180 some odd nations in the world, that our economy is larger than theirs. So how would the Most High actually get us to want to leave here? Where would we say we're going back to Israel? We're going to go to a place, someplace in the world where we have it worse than, and we don't know what will happen to us there? Because when you do your research, we're not treated well anywhere in the world, but in this country, you know, we are still abused and used, discriminated against, but we're still better off than 180 some odd countries financially. And if, you know, if you're not running around really looking for trouble, then you're not really going to find it. You know, it's when we're doing stuff that we ought not do. And then there's cases where, you know, they're not justified for doing what they do, but we're not in our land. So we, you know, if you try to tell, I ask a lot of my brothers and sisters, say, there is no gun to your head. There are no chains on your ankles. There's nothing making you stay here. Why haven't you left? So we got this mindset that, oh, we're abused, and then we got those among us who are trying to seek for equality in a land that's never going to give us equality. They're never going to give us or think of us as totally equal with them. And the Most High said we would be redeemed without money. There's got to be another way that we're going to be redeemed by him. So we got to understand that first, if the Assyrians that did this, and in these latter days, trouble has to come to make us want to get up out of here. Because most of us, I'm going to say at least 90% of us don't want to leave here. Okay, All right, that being said, let's go back to Exodus chapter 5. And just know that these are the Assyrian people who are oppressing our forefathers. They're called Egypt. They're calling them Egyptians, but they are truly Assyrians, okay? And the Assyrians are one of the nations that the Most High uses to chastise his people, whether they are in Egypt or whether they are in Israel or whether they were Assyrians themselves. When the Assyrians became puffed up, the Most High brought Nebuchadnezzar down. Oh, you think you're that great? Let me give you the mind of a beast for 7 years. You won't know what's going on. You'll be out there eating grass like all the other beasts, no mind of your own. And then I'm going to bring you back to your senses so that you know that I do all these things. Chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in. Now, they are going to see Pharaoh and tell him that the Most High says to let his people go. Now, remember, the Most High said that he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So I believe the first time that Moses goes to Pharaoh, this is Pharaoh. He doesn't want to do it. So this gives the Most High reason to come against Egypt. After that, when Pharaoh wants to let the people go, the Most High hardens his heart. Nope, not yet, Pharaoh. I ain't through whipping your behind. So I'm going to make you say no so I can put some more hurt on you. Okay? So let's start here. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says Yah Elohim of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is Yah, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not Yah, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto Yah our Elohim, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from... And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore or why do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Why are you giving them a day off? Get you unto your burden. Said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burden. You giving them rest so that they have the strength to rise up. I want to keep them busy and hurting and, you know, their mind off of us, but on doing this work so they can't get up out of here. Now, again, you have to wonder that, you know, the cue should be here that, hey, Pharaoh does not want them to leave the land. And Pharaoh commanded the same day that the taskmasters of the people and their officers saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Now, so the Egyptians were providing straw, or the Assyrians were providing straw to our forefathers. And they said, well, we're not going to give it to you anymore. You got to go get it yourself. Go glean it yourself. And the tale of the brick, and the tally of the brick, which they make, heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof. Don't lessen the number of bricks that they got to make, because they got to go gather the straw at night and work all day. Okay? For they be idols. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our Elohim. You sit here complaining because you got too much time on your hands, and now you want to complain and ask, can you go and sacrifice unto Yah? Let their more work be laid upon them, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmaster of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus said Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So I'm not going to give you straw. You go find it where you can find it at. But your number of bricks that you owe me every day better not go down. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hurried them, saying, fill up your works, fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw. Now, so you know, this is like saying build a house. You got to make the bricks to build the house, and you don't have the material to build the bricks, and you better not lessen the number of bricks that you make, and the house better be being built on time. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmaster had set over them, were beaten and demanded. So we got Hebrews over Hebrews. And because these Hebrews were the heads of these different families among our people, different groups of people, they were beaten, okay, to make them put pressure on the people. You better get up and go get this straw, get this stubble out of the field, and better keep making the number of bricks that you've been making. Were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making bricks both yesterday and today as before? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, make bricks, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, you are idle. Therefore, you say, let us go and do sacrifice to Yah. Go, therefore, now and work, for there shall no straw be given you. You shall deliver the tally of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case. After it was said, you shall not diminish pot from your bricks out of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, now understand that Yah's hand is in this as well. Because now the people are, they're tasked with rigor. They're complaining. They're going to come complain to Moses. Hey, what did y'all say to Pharaoh? Okay? And they said unto them, Yah looked upon you and judged, because you have made our favor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of the of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to slay us. And Moses returned unto Yah and said, Yah, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? So it's like Moses is not aware what the Most High is doing and why the Most High is causing Pharaoh to act this way. And remember, the whole purpose of this is really to get the people to want to leave Egypt. They have been spoiled the whole time they were there. They were the royal sheep herdsmen. And they had the good life. I need to make these people want to leave. Okay? So Pharaoh is putting this hard burden on them, saying you can't go, you want to go serve your Elohim in the desert or out in the wilderness, you got too much time on your hands. So now they're being tasked very heavily, and they're coming to complain to Moses. Now Moses goes back to the Most High and says, why did you send me here? Because I don't think he didn't see this coming either. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he has done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Those are some heavy words. Since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he has done evil to this people. And you ain't done nothing about it. You ain't delivered them. So Moses is really not understanding what the Most High is doing. He's thinking that he's going to deliver them overnight, when the Most High has already told him, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will not let the people go. So he's forgotten this. Exodus chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Then Yah said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And Elohim spake unto Moses, said unto him, I am Yah. I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of Elohim Almighty, but by my name, and it has it Jehovah here, but it'll be Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am Yah, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. Now, this purpose of the Most High is to bring his people out, but in doing so, to also to destroy Egypt. Okay? And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a Elohim, and you shall know that I am Yah, your Elohim, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am Yah. He wants them to know clearly who's doing this and who's going to deliver them. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for the anguish of spirit, for the cruel bondage. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, go and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before Yah, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not listened to me, have not hearkened to me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Go tell Pharaoh, these be the heads of their father's houses, the son of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Anak, and Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben. And of the sons of Simeon, Yemiel, and Yemien, and Ohad, and Yachin, and Zohar, and Shul, the son of the Canaanitish woman. These are the families of Simeon. And these are the names of the son of Levi according to their generations. Gershon and Kohath and Merari, and the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. And the sons of Gershon, Libni and Shimei, according to their families. And the sons of Kohath, Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Uzziel, and the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari, Mahali and Mushi. These are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram was 137 years. What you can do is use these genealogies and the years to actually figure out how long they were in Egypt. Okay, because he's giving you the years of the families of Israel and how long they lived. And so you can say, from this father to this son was this long, and from this father to this son was this long, until the time that Moses brings them out. And you will find that it's not 400 years. Okay? And Amram took Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the year of the life of Amram was 137 years. And the son of Izhar, Korah, and Nepheg, and Zithri. The sons of Aziel, Mishael, Elazaphan, and Zithri. And Aaron took him Elisheba, daughter of Amminadab, sister of Nathan, to wife, and she bare him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And the sons of Korah, Asir and Elkanah and Abithah. And these are the families of the Korites. And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putuel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses to whom Yah said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their families. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on that day when Yah spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that Yah spake unto Moses, saying, I am Yah. Speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I see you. And Moses said before Yah, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken to me? And Yah said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a Elohim to Pharaoh. So I told you that this term God that we use in the English only means someone that has been given power and authority, or who has power and authority. I have given you power and authority over Pharaoh. That's the definition of Elohim. Now, we serve the Most High power and authority. His name is Yah, or Jehovah, Yahweh. I have made thee an Elohim to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now, he told Moses he was going to do this, and Moses said that I am slow of speech, and I'm not eloquent when I speak. He says, then I will make Aaron your mouthpiece, your prophet. So here he's saying it again. I have made thee an Elohim to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh. So you to Aaron, Aaron's going to say it to Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. So he's telling you, giving Moses his plan. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He will not let the people go. And I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And still he ain't going to listen to you. That I may lay my hand upon Egypt, that I might judge Egypt. I want to judge Egypt, and I want to judge Egypt righteously. So I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart and make him sin, that I might judge him. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yah when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as Yah commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old. So 80, that's 4 times 20, 80 years old. And Aaron, 83 years old. Aaron is 3 years old. And thank you for that, Sister Mary, on last night. When they spake unto Pharaoh, and Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall say, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as Yah had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. And they also did like manner with their enchantment. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. So the Egyptians have reproduced something that the Most High has done, caused Aaron to do. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod to show that the Most High was what, greater. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as Yah had said. And Yah said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, though he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink. Against he comes. So he's going to come out to the water. You stand on the other side. And the rod which has turned to a serpent, thou shalt take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, Yah Elohim of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Now, remember, the Most High says, I'm hardening his heart. So, Pharaoh, you won't listen. So now I'm going to do this to you. Thus saith Yah, in this thou shalt know that I am Yah. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the river shall die, and the river shall sink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river. Now, the Nile is their water source. It's their life source. And they worship the Nile. So the Most High is using the Nile River and saying, I'm going to control something you worship and think of as a god to show you that I'm greater than this god that you serve. I control the river and everything in it. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their springs, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood. So all of the water in Egypt comes from the Nile. And the Most High has told Aaron, stretch out your hand against all these things, that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and in the vessels of stone. So even all the bitter water that has been used from the Nile, that has been used in the river, in the pond, even already poured into vessels. If it was water, it became blood. And Moses and Aaron did so, and Yah commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river sank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. So the Egyptians repeated this. Neither did he hearken unto them, as Yah has said. So Yah has done something that, now, this shows you how great that the Most High had made Egypt. They had knowledge, and they had power to perform supernatural, or what would be considered supernatural, acts. They threw down their staffs. They became serpents. The Most High's staff consumed them. The Most High turns all the rivers in Egypt, all the water in Egypt, to blood. It says that the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. We can do that too. Neither did he hearken unto them, as Yah had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to do this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days were filled after Yah had smitten the river. Now, so they found some water to drink somewhere, and by their enchantment, but they couldn't drink nothing that came from the river. And the Most High is doing this again to harden their hearts, to harden Pharaoh's heart. We can do that. So what makes you so great? Because he's going to cause them to blaspheme, and the Most High is not going to forgive him to blaspheme. Exodus chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith Yah, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. Now the river has everything in the river has died. And so the frogs live on the land, and then they go and reproduce in water. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchambers, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, into thy kneading troughs. I'm going to cause these frogs to multiply so much And they're going to get into everything. And the frog shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon thy servants. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. So these magicians are matching the Most High what? Each move. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat Yah that he may take away the frogs from me. Now, the Egyptians are able to cause the frogs to come up, but they weren't able to clear the water up. They were able to make the water turn to blood or look like blood. They weren't able to clear the water up. Here are frogs come upon the land, so many. They're able to also make frogs come up, but they can't get rid of them. They can't undo what the Most High has done so far. They have matched him move for move, okay? But they can't undo what he's done. And so Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, I entreat Yah that he may take away the frogs from me and my people and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto Yah. Now, he has given his word that he's going to let the people go, but the Most High is going to harden his heart. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs? Give me a time that you want. And for thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto Yah, our Elohim. Your like the Most High made them to come up. But your magicians can't get rid of them, and at a specific time. So to show you that I am Yah, give me a time you want these frogs gone, and only in the river. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, from thy people, they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto Yah because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh, and Yah did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. And when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as Yah had said. Now what Yah said, you know, you only want these frogs in the river. Someone called them to die in your house, and they're going to remain alive in the river, but on the land, they're going to die out and they're going to stink. And Pharaoh got upset. You said you were going to cause all these frogs to go back into the river. No, that's not what you said. I said you want to only remain alive in the river only. So he hardened his heart. And Yah said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become light throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth. And it became lice in men and in beasts. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth light. Magicians are matching the Most High move for move, but they can't undo what the Most High is doing. So this has to tell you, remember I told you that Egypt, the Egyptians were the people of the Most High, and they had knowledge. Even to what they are affecting is nature, whether through scientific means, whether through you know, saying enchantment. But they have the knowledge to do it. And they got this knowledge from the Most High. And they corrupted themselves. They corrupted themselves. And this is why the Most High is destroying them. Okay? Because they thought that they were just as powerful as the Most High. And they forsook the Most High and what he had done for them. And they even went to the point that they made Pharaoh an Elohim. And let's see, somebody just text me. Let's see what was said. Don't know. It's not come up on my screen yet. Okay. And the magician said so with their enchantments to bring forth life, but they could not. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. They didn't match them room for room there. They tried to and they couldn't, so that there was life upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is a finger of Elohim. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as Yah had said. So when they went to bring forth life, they couldn't match that one. And Yah said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith Yah, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, upon thy son, upon thy people, and into thy house, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereupon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. So I'm going to separate the land of Goshen in this particular miracle, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am Yah in the midst of the earth. So I made all of the earth to be light, the dust of the earth to be light. Okay, just a second here. I just had it with my phone. Okay, let's move on. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people will dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am Yah in the midst of the earth. I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And Yah did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into the servant's house, and in the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, go ye, sacrifice to your Elohim in the land. Now the request has been for them to leave and go out into the wilderness. Pharaoh is trying to keep them local. And Moses said, it is not meant so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians. For shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to Yah our Elohim? What is the abomination of the Egyptian? They worship the cow. They worship the sheep. They worship the animals. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptian before Yah, before the abomination of the Egyptian before their eyes? Will they not killing our God? So Moses said, should we do this in front of the Egyptian people? Because they will stone us if they see us. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yah, our Elohim, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to Yah, your Elohim, in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away and treat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will treat Yah that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his service and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to Yah. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yah. And Yah did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of the flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. So this hardening of Pharaoh's heart, he thinks it's his doing, but it really is the Most High. All right, let's keep going. Exodus chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Then Yah said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith Yah Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of Yah is upon thy cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And let's see what this word murrain means. This is a Hebrew word, dabir, dabir, the sense of destroying, a pestilence, plague. Between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of it, of all that is in the children of Israel. That is up, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. And Yah appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow that Yah shall do this thing in the land. And Yah did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh said, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And Yah said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall come, and it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blame upon man. Okay, so they're going to get a boil, and these boils are probably going to become hard, you know, sores. So let's look at this. Make sure that what blames are. This is Abadua, from an unused root meaning to belch forth, an inflammatory pustule. So, you know, boils with pus in them. And upon the beast, throughout all the land of Egypt. So imagine this, you got boils breaking out on everything. And they're pustule, you know, with pus in them, so they're infectious. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it upon up toward heaven. And it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians did not stand before Moses because of the boil. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And Yah hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as Yah had spoken unto Moses. So the Most High, you know, in all of this, he doesn't want Pharaoh to repent. And Yah said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith Yah Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, that they shall be cut off from the earth. Now I'm about to kill y'all all with all these plagues. And in every deed, and in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up. So the Most High says, for this reason I have raised you up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
As yet, now in the conference.
And let me mute that. My people, that thou wilt not let them go. Are you still going to exalt yourself against my people? But remember, Pharaoh don't really have a choice in this. Yah has said, I'm hardening his heart. I'm hardening his heart, and so, but I'm still charging him with it because I want to judge Egypt and I want to destroy Egypt. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even till now, that they never happened. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. And he that feared the word of Yah among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the house. And he that regarded not the word of Yah left his servants and his cattle in the field. And Yah said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his hand. Now this means that our forefathers had to put their stuff inside too, because he did not separate the land of Gershon for some of these plagues, and some of them he did. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and Yah sent forth sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and Yah rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and Egypt and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. The hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Gershon, where the children of Israel, was there no hail. So he did this. He separated Israel again here. I'm not going to do this to my people, but only to you, Egypt, the rest of the Egyptians. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Yah is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat Yah, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings in hell, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto Yah, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hell, that thou mayest know how that the earth in service, I know that you will not yet fear Yah Elohim. You saying you will, but you won't. And the flax and the barley was spent, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. So these crops were ripe to be harvested, and Yah destroyed them. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. So that the wheat and the rye was still in the earth. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hand unto Yah, and the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as Yah had spoken by Moses. Exodus chapter 10. And Yah said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, the heart of his servants, and that I might show thee these my signs before him, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's sons what things I have run or worked in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that they may know how that I am Yah. And Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith Yah Elohim of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts unto the coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped. Which remaineth unto you from the hail. Hold on just a second. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. They shall eat the residue that is which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill the houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve Yah their Elohim. Knowest thou not, Egypt is destroyed. He didn't destroy our crops. He didn't destroy our animals. He didn't put boils on us. We in trouble. Let them go. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve Yah your Elohim. But who are they that shall go? Y'all go, but which one of y'all going? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, and we must hold a feast unto Yah. And he said unto them, let Yah be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, you that are men, and serve Yah, for that you desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So Pharaoh said, hey, let the men go, but don't let the children go. And Yah said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail has left. So the rye and the barley, I think those were the two crops that hadn't come up. Let them even eat all of that. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and Yah brought an east wind upon the land of all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Now the east wind is blowing from the east to the west. Egypt is on the coast, the southeast coast of the Mediterranean, are being blown in from the Middle East, well, what they call the Middle East, and the eastern countries. And the locusts went up over the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there was no such locust as they, neither after them shall be such. So this curse of all these locusts, it was so thick that, you know, these locusts was there to devour everything. Now, when we read about these locusts in Revelation, that he's saying that he's going to send, he's telling them, don't eat anything green. Only hurt men. Here the locusts are eating everything green. The Most High is going to bring a locust, a type in the future that is not going to hurt anything green. It's only going to hurt men. For they covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruits of the trees which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, you know, it takes some time to grow everything. Trouble. And Pharaoh's, his leaders were trying to tell him, hey, we are destroyed. We are in trouble. There's going to be starvation. Like, we ain't seen. We ain't going to be able to feed ourselves. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in a hurry. And he said, I have sinned against Yah, your Elohim, and against you. Now, therefore, forgive me, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat Yah, your Elohim, that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yah. And Yah turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. But Yah hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And Yah said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel hid light in their dwellings. Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve Yah. Only let your flocks and your herds be saved. Let your little ones also go with you. Leave something behind that you got to come back. So leave your what? Flocks and your herds. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto Yah our Elohim. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve Yah our Elohim. So we're going to sacrifice our cattle. You worship the cow. We take to serve our Elohim. We know that we know not with what we must serve Yah until we come there. But Yah has hardened, but Yah hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see your face again no more. Let's do something. Let's see, it is 9:36. Let's go to the book of Romans. We'll come back to this. The book of Romans, and I believe it's chapter 8, but hold on a second. Give me 1 second, make sure of this chapter. When I do that, okay, I'm just looking at this chapter real quick. It's not 8, it must be 3 or 4. So give me 1 second here. I don't know why I'm having a hard time finding this. Okay. Romans chapter 9. Go to Romans chapter 9. So I want to show you that the Most High is in control of everything, okay? Start Romans chapter 9, verse 1. The book of Romans chapter 9 and verse 1. I say the truth in Mashiach. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. Why? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Mashiach. Why? For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of Elohim, and the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Mashiach came, who is over all, Elohim blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of Elohim has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Even in Israel, not everybody are considered to be the children of the Most High. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The Most High is looking for those that are faithful, who obey him. For this is the word of promise. At that time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now, listen to this. For the children, Jacob and Esau, not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Elohim according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that called. The Most High wanted Jacob to have the promise. Okay? But Esau came out first. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Esau came out first, but he's going to end up serving Jacob. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, before they were ever even born. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Elohim forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It's all in up to him. All up to him. So it says, the Most High says, I do good and I do evil. I create good and I create evil. I cause it to happen. You got to understand that it's all in his wheelhouse. It's all up to him. So now he's going to talk about Pharaoh. So then it is not of him that willeth. It's not of your own will, nor of him that runs, but of Elohim that shows mercy. Saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. I did this for my glory. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. He will save who he wants to save, and he will harden who he don't want to harden. Make you disobedient. Because I don't want to save you. Your heart is not right before me. Thou shalt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? If he's hardening my heart to do wrong or to disobey him, why is he blaming me? For who has resisted his will? No, but, O man, who are you that replies or talks against Elohim? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me this way? So the Most High makes you and says, you know, I got the power to destroy you. I got the power to use you however I want to use you for my glory. If I make you a toilet brush, you're a toilet brush. And you're to be used for unclean things, and then I just cast you away. People don't want to make the Most High sovereign like that. Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor? And another unto dishonor. Yep, this one is going to be used for dishonor. Here's the toothbrush, here's the toilet brush. One you put in your mouth, the other one you don't. One you clean totally unclean things. You don't give it any honor. And when you're done with it, you don't give it any honor. You use it for what it was meant to be used for, and you cast it away. People don't want to give the Most High that kind of power. No, he's not like that. He wouldn't do that. They know not whom they serve. What if Elohim, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured much long-suffering, the vessels of wrath? I made this vessel to take my anger out on, fit it for destruction. I made this person to do this thing that I might destroy them. I might use my anger and destroy it. Destroy them. I made these people. See, we don't want to give the Most High that kind of credit. We don't want to give him that kind of power. But he showed it in Pharaoh from the very beginning. I'm going to harden his heart to bring about my will, that you might know that I am Elohim, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Better pray that you are a vessel of mercy, which he has made afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. I'm going to take out of both to make a new man. As we tell us in Ephesians, I'm going to take out of both the Hebrews and out of the Gentiles. Two people for my name's sake. I'm going to be the head of them. But I'm going to make one new man, one new body out of these two people, Jew and Gentile. So when our brothers are saying that, hey, you know, only Hebrew Israelites get into the kingdom, they're not reading all the scripture. And when the Gentiles think that, you know, the Most High is going to destroy Israel and not going to bring any Hebrews into the kingdom, or they're taking their place, they're not reading all the scripture. The Most High wants a holy people from off the entire earth. But he still has his laws and what roles each one is going to fulfill. All right, so I hope we can see that he's in charge. And that's why we need to fear him. Suppose the Most High said, I looked at your heart and saw that you were wicked. I'm going to use you for wickedness to bring about my will. I'm going to use you for evil to bring about my will. What if he did that? Would you serve him? Would you say, he's not my Elohim? Or would you say, thy will be done? Be it unto your servant as is your will. Because that's the heart he's looking for. You are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. Serve him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. That a lot of people, they read it, but they don't want to accept it. No, he wouldn't do that. He will and he does. Here's what I want us to understand. The Most High don't have to settle for anything. He don't have to settle. He takes what he wants. He does with it as he pleases. And who's going to stop him? No one. He says, I created everything. And if I want to use something for evil, I will. If I want to use it for good, I will. So we better do what he says to do and have a contrite heart. Yeah, I am nothing. I am nothing. I'm dirt. I'm only fit to be beneath your feet. If you give me glory, it's because you give me glory. If you make me something, it's because you made me something. Other than that, I'm as a filthy rag. I'm as the dust of the earth. And so we should become very humble. In our attitude toward him. Exodus chapter 11. And Yah said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh. Exodus 11. And upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. To go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He shall push you out altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow his neighbor, and every man, every woman her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Now he's already told Moses, I'm going to cause this to happen. I have tenderized the Egyptians with all these plagues, and they are ready to do what I want to do after I do this next one. They're gonna want to let you go. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And Yah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And this man, Moses, grew up in his house, and he come back with all this power. His Elohim is Elohim. Some of these Egyptians turned on Pharaoh. Some of these Egyptians were married to Hebrews. And Moses said, thus saith Yah, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt. And at all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. All the firstborn, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant, those are Hebrews, that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall it be like it any more. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that Yah does put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now the maid service and things like that, they couldn't follow this commandment because they're going to have to do what Pharaoh said to do. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow themselves unto me, saying, get thee out and call the people that follow thee. After that I will go out, and went out from Pharaoh in great anger. And Yah said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And Yah hardened the heart of Pharaoh's heart, hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. I want to judge these people. I want to utterly destroy them. So let me harden Pharaoh's heart one more time. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house, taken according to the number of the soul, every man according to his feeding. So make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, or from the goats, and you shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled with water, but roast with fire, his legs with his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, the inside. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is Yah's Passover. Eat it in a hurry. Don't be dilly-dallying around. Don't be playing around. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the Elohims of Egypt. Will I execute judgment? I am Yah. All the leaders of Egypt, all those with powers in Egypt, all those things that they worship as well, and Elohim shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Remember this day, and you shall keep it a feast to Yah throughout your generations. You shall keep it by an ordinance, by a commandment forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So from the 14th day all the way to the 21st day. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, first and seventh day, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in it the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month, at evening. 7 days shall there be no, there's 7 days shall be no leaven found in your house. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Now, if he's a stranger, we're going to find out later that he also had to be circumcised. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your family and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintels and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out the door of the house until morning. For Yah will pass through to smite the Egyptian. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yah will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. It says, oh, you got to get under the blood. This is also applies as with the blood of Messiah. Okay? And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which Yah will give you according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yah's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our house. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away, and did as Yah had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight Yah smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get thee forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve Yah as you have said. And take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in a hurry. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, before it had risen, their kneading troughs being bound on in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, clothing. And Yah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. So journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. Doesn't say how many women, doesn't say how many children, but 600,000 men. So you know there was over a million. If you do 600,000 and if all the men are married, that's 1.2 million. But even if they're not all married, you still got in the millions because you got children, you got elderly. And a mixed multitude. Mixed multitude means that these were Hebrews and Egyptians and any other ethnicity of people that were there that wanted to go with Israel. Went up also with them, flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because there were thrust out of Egypt. And could not carry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual, any food. They ate the Passover, but they didn't carry anything with them that was prepared for this journey. Now the sojourning, remember I told you, remember that word. My people went down into Egypt to sojourn there. This word sojourning, look up the meaning of it. Sojourning, mashah, a seat, figuratively a site, abstractly a session, by extension abode, the place of time, by implication population, assembly, dwell, dwelling place, wherein that dwelt in, inhabited place, seat, sitting, situation, sojourning. They were, another word for this, let's go to 8:24-37. Properly to sit down, especially as a judge, in ambush or in quiet, by implication to dwell, to remain, constantly to settle, to marry, to make, abide, continue, cause to make, to dwell, ease, self, endure, establish, habitation, haunt, make, to inhabit, make, to keep, house, lurking, marry, marrying, being, bring it again to place, remain, return, seat, sit down, tarry. Okay, this was their place where they dwelt at, but it does not necessarily mean bondage. Okay, it means that they stayed in this land. They dwelt in this land. Now the sojourning, the staying in the land of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even to the selfsame day, the last day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yah went out from the land of Egypt. And in that night, it is a night to be much observed unto Yah for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yah to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generation. And Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when he has circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. So the strangers had to be circumcised. The mixed multitude had to be circumcised. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. So you got to be careful who you invite to the Passover. Even today, because this is a law that wasn't done away with. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the house, abroad, out of the house. Don't carry the Passover, you know, cook it at home and carry it someplace else. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised. The law. So if you're a Hebrew and you're going to keep the Passover, you got to be circumcised if you're a male. And if you are a stranger and you invite a stranger, one of another land, even if you invite another Hebrew, you got to know whether they're circumcised. That's something that a lot of people don't want to ask, but this is the law of the circumcision of the Passover. Let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. So when we talk about salvation in the New Testament, and it says there's no need for them to be circumcised for salvation, to get into the kingdom. But if they want to come close to the Most High, let's go back to verse 48 again. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised and let him come near and keep it. That means to come into close relationship with him and to observe this feast and let them be circumcised. No uncircumcised person shall eat thereof, Hebrew or stranger. And when you tell people that today, they don't want to hear it. When you tell, you know, some of our brothers and sisters that, oh, I just learned about the Passover, I want to keep it. But they didn't really learn about the Passover. They learned about a feast day, but they didn't learn the laws concerning it. Oh, we ain't up under no laws. Yes, you are. Okay. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as Yah commanded Moses, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that Yah did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their army. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, Father, and we thank you for your word on today. And we, Father, so humbly, with full humility, we bow before you, Father, for you are sovereign. You are the highest. You created everything, and all things are in your hand, Father, whether for good or whether for evil. Let your will be done, Father, as you see fit, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, we will continue in this on this evening, lesson in the Exodus. We're going to be looking for what the Most High does with Egypt, finally destroys them, and how he calls for Israel to have to trust in him. And then we'll even look at those other miracles, the miracles that the Most High is doing in the wilderness. You know, people think that Messiah was in the wilderness with them, and he was not. It says that rock which was Christ. But that rock which was Christ was a literal rock out of stone, flint rock that made fire, that the Most High caused water to come out of this flint rock. And then he caused this rock to follow them, to move with them. miracle beyond miracle. You know, solid rock moving with the people. So we will get into this on this evening, and then they finally, you know, get to meet the Most High. They finally get to meet with him. Hear his voice. And they tremble. Here today, people say they hear the voice of the Most High, and they don't tremble. They're not afraid. I don't know who they're talking to. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. For this is the whole duty of man. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your day.
Shalom, brother and sister Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom.
Shalom, family.
Shalom, family.
And everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you.